The mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen is one which we find both in Parshas Bo, and it's mentioned once again in Parshas Korach. And there the Torah says, Bechor Banecha Titen Li, that we have an obligation to give our firstborn child to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what exactly that means is a very good question, but first of all, the halacha is that it's only when it is the firstborn to the mother, and no prior miscarriage to that mother. So even if the father was never married before, and he now marries a woman who may have had children from a previous marriage, he does not have an obligation to do Pidyon HaBen unless it's a situation where it is the firstborn to the mother. It is Peter Rechem Imo. Number two, the only time there is a Pidyon HaBen is when you have a child that is born naturally. So if the child was born through a C-section, what we call in the Gemara as a Yotzei Dofen, that would not be considered a child that would require a Pidyon HaBen. Only if it was a vaginal birth. There's a big discussion about whether or not a baby that was conceived through an IVF or some other fertility method would be considered to be chayv in Pidyon HaBen, and the understanding is absolutely. The child, doesn't matter how they were conceived, as long as the child was born healthy, that is considered to be a valid reason to do a Pidyon HaBen on that child. As we know, if the mother is either a Bas Kohen or a Bas Levi, so a Pidyon HaBen is not going to be done. When we had our first child, so my parents came to the hospital to visit us right after the child was born, and that was almost 9 years ago when my oldest son was born. So my father came, and right away my father's head starts thinking about all the halachas that are relevant, so he starts thinking about a Pidyon HaBen, and as he's listening to my wife talk to my mother about the difficulty in the delivery, they had used forceps when my son was being born, which is apparently very unusual in today's climate. They don't often use forceps, but for some reason they decided to do that. And my father mentioned to me at the time, not obviously he didn't mention to my wife, but he mentioned to me at the time that there's a big discussion whether or not a Pidyon HaBen should be done when forceps are used in the birth of a child, because after all, forceps help pull the baby out and the baby is not pushed out naturally. So maybe that's a little more similar to a C-section as opposed to a vaginal birth that is done in the normal, natural way. It is incorrect in the end because we found out the doctors told us at the time, and my father was not aware of this, and they told him that even when they do use forceps, they only do that after the child's head has already left the birthing canal, the birth canal, I think it's called. So therefore, it's as if the child has already been born. The bechor already came out into the world. Now we're just using the instrument to help us get the rest of the baby's body out. So then the shiloh really doesn't exist at all. You don't really have a discussion, and it didn't exist by us either way because my wife is a Bas Levi. So there was no discussion, but it was an interesting thing to think about regardless. So the Torah says, Ufduyo mi ben chodesh tifte. The halacha is that we need to do the Pidyon HaBen after the child is 30 days old. That is quoted in the Mishnah Maseches Bechoros, and there the Gemara says that if you did it lifnei, what if a father knows that he's going to be on a business trip and he's not able to cancel it, and he's going to have to go out of town, and he's not going to be available here on the Yom Lamed Aleph, after the child is 30 days old, you do the Pidyon HaBen on Yom Lamed Aleph. So if you don't know that the child, if you don't know that you're going to be around, can I do the mitzvah now at day 20 or day 15 and assume that that will be good enough? The Gemara says no, lo kia mitzvaso, that is not considered to be a mitzvah. What if the baby, this happens every so often, you have a child who's left in the ICU for whatever treatment they need, and let's say the child will be there for another month or so. So it happens to be the child was born naturally, and the child is overall healthy, but for whatever reason they're monitoring the child in the hospital, or the child unfortunately is not healthy, and now they're keeping the child in the hospital. Would you perform a Pidyon HaBen without the child being present? Right? Will we do a Pidyon HaBen when the child is in the ICU? The answer is absolutely. We have a mitzvah Pidyon HaBen on Yom Lamed Aleph, whether the child is home or the child is in the hospital. Either way, we assume that a Pidyon HaBen is supposed to be done. What's interesting is the Sfarno writes, both in Parshas Bo, as well as in Parshas Korach, when the Torah describes the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, the Sfarno makes the same comment in both places, and that is that until you do the Pidyon, until the father, quote-unquote, redeems his son from the Kohen, we assume that the parents are not allowed to do any Dvarim Shalchol with this child. You're like the property of the Kohen until the father redeems him. And that is obviously not the assumption of any of the poskim, and it seems against the Gemara itself. The Gemara Maseches Bechoros writes clearly that this is not at all considered to be a regular pidyon. Normally when you have a pidyon, it means I have to redeem X for Y, and once I give the money, then the other item is going to belong to me. But that is not the case here at all. We don't assume that a child is not allowed to kiss their, that a parent is not allowed to kiss their firstborn child until 30 days because that's using my child for my own purpose. That's not at all the assumption. We obviously understand that Pidyon HaBen, although it's called a Pidyon, it is not exactly a redemption that we would normally understand in the way that Pidyon is normally used. So the Aruch HaShulchan asked the million-dollar question, and that is, I'll read you his Lashon. Ach gam lehepech tamua, demahu zeh Lashon Pidyon. Why do we refer to this as a Pidyon HaBen, that I'm redeeming this child? Debechol HaPidyonos, he says, you look through Chumash and you'll find that every other time we have a redemption, such as, he says, Pidyon Hekdish. Something belongs to Hekdish, to the Beis Hamikdash, to their property. And now I want to be poded. That means I want to redeem this chair that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. I want to give them the money, the value. They're going to take the money, and now the chair becomes mine. That's what a regular pidyon means. And the same is by Maaser Sheni. A farmer has fruits, he needs to bring it up to Yerushalayim. There's too much fruit. He's not going to be able to travel all the way with so much fruit in his wagon. So he's poded onto money. He takes the fruits and he says, now I'm going to give the value of all that money. The kedusha of the fruit now goes on to the money. When he gets to Yerushalayim, the money now takes the place of the fruits and he has to do whatever is the appropriate thing. So ask the Aruch HaShulchan, I don't understand. Always when we talk about pidyon, it is tamura. It is something that is an exchange, one item for the other, the money for something else. However, over here he says, we don't assume that if I'm not poda my child, let's say a father says, I don't want to do the Pidyon HaBen. I don't have money. I'm not interested in doing the mitzvah. We don't assume that his child belongs to the Kohen. We don't assume that the Kohen can now come to his house and, God forbid, steal the child away from his parents. Of course not. So why do we refer to this as a Pidyon? Ask the Aruch HaShulchan, Eich Shayach Lashon Pidyon. It's a very strange terminology to be used, but that is what we generally refer to as the Pidyon HaBen. Now, what if the father, as we know, when you start the process, the procedure of a Pidyon HaBen, for anyone who's ever been to this very unusual mitzvah, we know that the opening statement that the Kohen makes is, Ma ba'is tvei, what do you want? Would you rather have the child, or would you rather have the money? So, it's a very strange question to be asking, and the truth is, the Trumas HaDeshen, one of the Gedolei HaAchronim, the Trumas HaDeshen, who is often quoted by the Ramah, discusses this, and he says, what if a father says, you know what, I'm actually interested in the money. I don't want to change his kid's diapers for the next 2-3 years. I'll take the money instead. Says the Trumas HaDeshen, it's not an option. We're not giving the parent an option whether or not you want to keep the child or keep the money. So why do we ask it? That's a very good question. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, the reason why is very simple. It's a very, I guess we can say, a balabatish reason. Balabatish means, I guess, the most simple reason. No lumdus here. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, how often have you gone to a Pidyon HaBen and people who are standing around have no idea what's going on? It's not a mitzvah that we encounter every day. It happens once in a blue moon. And therefore, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, many people in the room assume that the Kohen is blessing the child. Many people assume this. They have no idea what's really happening. So says Reb Shlomo Zalman, we want everybody in the room to know exactly what's going on. So we ask the father, we're about to do a pidyon, we're making a transaction, Ma ba'is tvei, and we announce it out loud. Everybody should know, because maybe there's going to be a father who doesn't fully understand what's going on. So we want to make sure that the father really knows what he's getting involved with. What is he doing? And why is he doing this? So therefore we say, Ma ba'is tvei, what is it that you want more? In order that the father should make sure that he clearly understands why he's giving money and what he's giving the money for. The Pischei Tshuva writes in Yerudeya, perhaps the reason why we do this is La'orer Cheshe Ka'av, that we want to make the father more excited. So we talk to him about it and we say, oh, what do you want more? And of course every father's going to say, I want my child, right? Which father would say he wants money? So therefore he says, this is why we say Ma Ba'is Tvei, in order to whet the appetite of the father to get excited about the mitzvah that he's about to do. There's a very famous comment that is said over by many, many Pidyon HaBen. You can use it tomorrow. It's a beautiful comment of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky.
Tomorrow, you can use it tomorrow.
9 o'clock tomorrow morning, I know. So so Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes that, why do we say Ma Ba'is Tvei? So Rabbi Yaakov says the reason why is because we ask a parent, what is going to be your major focus in life? Is the chinuch of your children, is the priority of your children's needs going to go ahead of your interest in money? This is not a question for right now. This is a question about your general outlook in life. And says Rabbi Yaakov, it's very hard for a parent to answer that question in the right way. Right now, when we ask a parent, would you rather these 5 slime or would you rather take your child? Of course he's going to say, I'll take the child. But when we ask the question over a lifetime, will you always put your children before your money? A parent has to be willing to say, yes, my priorities are always going to be proper and they're always going to be straight. And yes, I always will choose my children over any amount of money, because there's nothing that can take the place of the bracha of the gift of children that God has given me. So that is the interpretation of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. We had Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and the Pischei Tshuva as well. But anyway, that is the way we begin the ceremony of Pidyon HaBen. But obviously, writes the Trumas Hadesh, and a parent has no right to say at the Pidyon HaBen, no, you know, let's keep things the way they are, let the Kohen take care of my child and I'll keep the money. That is not an option that we give a parent. Now, the problem is we have a Gemara Maseches Kiddushin. How much money do you need to give for Pidyon HaBen? So the Gemara says, Chamesh Shlaim. You have to give 5 Shlaim. So you asked the other day, how much is 5 Shlaim? That is a very good question. We don't have Shlaim today. We don't use that currency. And the question is, how do we deal with that? So the answer is that generally today we assume that you should take the value of 5 silver coins and you should figure out how much that is. Now, how much is that? So we discussed the other day, the Achronim generally say today it's around 100 grams of silver. So you have to look. In the silver index, you just go on Google and you find out what is the silver value today. And that is basically going to be 100 grams of silver would be the amount of money that you have to give. I think when we looked it up the other day, it was around $50 to $60, something like that. And that should be sufficient. That is good enough. Now, the Gemara has a very strange story. The Gemara says about Rav Kahana that when he did a Pidyon HaBen, he took something that was a very cheap value. It says he took like a scarf. And he used that as the Pidyon HaBen money. So the question the Gemara asks is, what do you mean? But that's not worth $50. So how did he take the scarf and assume that that was going to work? So the Gemara says, well, the answer is that Rav Kahana felt that it was something that was very valuable. So to him, it was worth $50, even though the market value of such an item is not $50. And therefore, he said that is why he was able to use it, because in his opinion, and he was the Kohen, in his opinion, he felt that this was worthwhile, and therefore it's good enough. Which leads the Rambam and the other Rishonim to a whole discussion. Do we assume that it all goes based on subjective value? Is that really true? Let's say you have a wedding, and a chassan goes to the kala, and he gives her a seashell. And he says, Hareya mikudeshesli. It's not worth a shava pruta. But he says, no, 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 this is the seashell from my Elta Zeta who lived in Europe, and he brought it over with him after the war, and it's a big family heirloom, and to us it's worth $1 million. Yeah, but to anybody in the street it's not worth anything. Would you say that the woman is mikudeshes because it has subjective value? Because it has value to me? If outside in the world it would really have no value at all? So that is a very good question, and that comes up here by the laws of Pidyon HaBen as well. But what's even more interesting is the Gemara here talks about Rav Kahana who performed the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. And Tosas asks a question. Tosas says, if you know all of Shas, which I don't, but Tosas did, Tosas says, you'll know, of course, that the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim Daf Memtes, I'm totally unfamiliar with the sugya, I'm trusting Tosas that that's the case. He says, you'll look in the Gemara Pesachim Daf Memtes, and over there you'll find that the Gemara clearly says that Rav Kahana was not a Kohen. Rav Kahana was a Yisrael. So says Tosas, how could Rav Kahana have done a Pidyon HaBen if he was not even a Kohen? How did he take the money? The Gemara is getting lost on the details of, oh, what kind of money did he take? He only took a scarf, he should have taken money. What about the fact that he wasn't a Kohen? That's the basic question. Take a step back and ask yourself, Rav Kahana was not a Kohen. So how did he do the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen? Pretty fairly simple question. So Tosas gives 2 answers. Number one, Tosas says, the easy answer, there were 2 Rav Kahanas. And there was 1 Rav Kahana who was not a Kohen, 1 Rav Kahana who was a Kohen, and obviously this is the one who was a Kohen, otherwise why would he do a Pidyon HaBen? But the second answer is fascinating. Tosas there writes, the second teretz is that Inami Yesh Lamer de Bishvil Ishto Hayelokeach. Oh, says Tosas. Rav Kahana was not a Kohen, but he was married to a Bas Kohen. Yeah, so therefore?
What did he need a Pidyon HaBen for?
No, no, no. Rav Kahana was the Kohen for somebody else's child. So Tosas asks, how could I be the Kohen for somebody else's child if I'm not a Kohen? Answer is, my wife is a Kohen. Yes, so therefore? So you can have a woman, a Bas Kohen, do a Pidyon HaBen? Especially when she's married to a Yisrael? Really? So the Chassam Sofer says, what's going on here? And the Rambam and the Rush say, no, that can't be. It doesn't make sense. What do you mean? All of a sudden, a Bas Kohen is able to go and do the Pidyon HaBen? After all, the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin that whenever the Torah says La'aron u'Labanav, it means it has to be La'aron u'Labanav. And a female Bas Kohen will not be sufficient to take care of the job because the Torah explicitly said La'aron u'Labanav. And over here, by Pidyon HaBen, that is what the Torah says. So how can that be? So this is a major Machlokas HaRishonim. And the Chassam Sofer actually had a case where he discusses, what do you do in a situation where you cannot find a male Kohen in the neighborhood? And the only person that you can think of that lives around here is a Bas Kohen. You have a woman who grew up in a family of Kohanim. Would that be something that I should encourage, asked the Chasam Sofer? Here we come to Yom Lamed Aleph. It's the day that we're supposed to do the Pidyon HaBen. I don't know the next time that a Kohen is going to come traveling into our city. Who knows if we're even going to be aware that he's here? And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, maybe it would make sense. He writes in one of his Shuvas, Mikomakam Nira La'aniyas Daiti, Mishala Acher Kol HaTirchos. If I tried, and I researched, and I looked around for a Kohen, Efshalo Lahagia LaKohen B'Yom Pidyono, I cannot locate a Kohen in my neighborhood on the day that I'm supposed to do the Pidyon HaBen, Ve'eina Rotza LaHashos, and I don't want to wait another 3 months. Who knows? Maybe I'm not going to be able to do it in another few months. Kaimi Yodea Mayulad Yom, he says, how do you know what's going to be in the future? Writes the Chasam Sofer, Al Kopanim, Yitim B'Yom HaPinyon LeKohenes B'Li Bracha. The Chasam Sofer says you should rely on the second opinion of the Bali Atosis, which is that perhaps a Kohenes is allowed to serve as the one to do the Pidyon HaBen. And therefore he says, because it's a major machlokas harishonim, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam, therefore he says you should do the Pidyon HaBen on the proper day without making a bracha. And if sometime in the future you're going to bump into a person who is known to be a Kohen, who is a male, then you will do the Pidyon HaBen once again, because we weren't sure whether or not the first one worked. The Gemara does say here, though, that we generally assume that you don't have to use actual money for the Pidyon HaBen. You can use Shavei Kesef as well. You can use something that has the value of money, which leads to the other discussion that we had. What about giving a check? What about giving representative money? So giving a check, the Gemara says, a check is nothing. So therefore, the Gemara says a check for sure not. Now the problem is, the Gemara in Bechoras Daf Nun Aleph says a check wouldn't work because it's not inherently valuable. How do we look at money today? So a dollar bill, is that the same as a check or is it different? So that's a major discussion in the postgame, whether or not we assume a dollar bill is also just representative money. A dollar bill represents 60 cents, right? It represents money. So would I say that, not 60 cents, sorry, 100 cents. So, what? I'm all confused. Okay, so a dollar bill is also just representative money. It doesn't have inherent value. It used to be that a coin had inherent value. It was silver, or it was gold, or it was copper, it was something. But now that the dollar bill itself, or the coin, only has representative value, perhaps that is a question in and of itself, and that's why the Achronim say we should be machmir when it comes to a Pidyon HaBen. We should make sure not to use anything that is only representative money. You should use something that really has inherent value. So you go to the Judaica store and you find the silver coins, and you're all taken care of, but basically we assume that although Shavei Kesef would work, when you have something that is not even that, when you have something that only represents, we would suggest that you should find something that is more valuable in and of itself intrinsically and inherently than to take something that only represents the value of money.